Craig DeRoche is the current director of external relations for Justice Fellowship and Right on Crime Signatory. He's on the other end of our line. Craig, how are you?
I'm great. It's good to be on the show.
Thank you. Tell us about what you do.
Well, Right on Crime was founded. Justice Fellowship, along with Texas Public Policy Foundation, as well as a group of other leading conservatives around the country, put together the Right on Crime movement. As conservatives, we've stood fast and we've been well known for our support of constitutionally limited government, transparency, individual liberty, personal responsibility, and free enterprise. But where we've seemed to, I wouldn't call it a blind eye, but where we've been less aggressive and less clear is on our criminal justice spending. We say that we want to be tough on crime, but we don't say that we want to optimize public safety with those use of those tax dollars. And we also don't scrutinize that spending to make sure that it's being utilized optimally. And over the last 30 years, we've seen the growth in spending in the criminal justice area grow to the level of where it's second only to Medicaid spending in the state as a rate of growth. And the numbers that it puts up as far as whether or not it's succeeding or failing in keeping the community safe is something that leaves a lot to question, I guess, some of the investments that we have made.
From your perspective, what are the differences between the conservative and the liberal takes on the criminal justice system?
Well, the take, I think the focus has always been public safety. You know, the purpose of the criminal justice system is to, it's to respect and restore victims. It's to keep the community safe. And when it interacts with an offender, it's to hold that offender accountable. And if they do go to prison or they're being punished through the criminal justice system, to put them on a pathway toward accountability, restoration, and a crime-free lifestyle. And we seem to treat the criminal justice system as conservatives at arm's length. And it's a government program, just like any other government program, and we've seen it balloon. In Michigan alone, we actually lead the nation where the length of stay has grown by more than 79% in Michigan, for the offenders since 1990. And I think a lot of your listeners would say, well, so what? They had that coming. They're offenders. They were convicted in a court. But what the Pew research has shown us is that it hasn't led to any measurable increase in public safety. And to give you an idea of just that increase in length of stay, the average increase over the last 20 years going up, it has led to, in just 2009 alone, a $471.9 million increase in government spending. So it hasn't been money that has been spent for the purpose, I think, where the taxpayers wanted it spent, which was on increasing public safety, because that has not been the measurable result from that increase in spending.
A new report found that Michigan is spending nearly an extra $2 billion on prisons annually because of the longer average release times, much of it for nonviolent offenders. What do you think about that?
And that's exactly the point. You know, as a conservative, you should scratch your head and say, huh, well, how did that happen? Well, you know, we I think in good faith wanted to say that increasing spending and would lead to safer communities. And where have we heard that before, the conservatives? Something is failing the criminal justice system, and if you put more money into the failed system, you'll get a better result. Who are our friends that normally make that argument? It's normally liberals that say that. The reason why this government program isn't working is it doesn't have enough money. And I think that we went down that line when it came to criminal justice without having evidence-based empirical, objective, statistical things to say. What are we investing in? Is it actually going to have a measurable impact on public safety? Is it going to respect the victims? Is it going to restore the communities? Is it going to hold people accountable? And instead, we just said, hey, let's lock some more people up for longer periods of time, further away from public view. And that's very expensive. As a conservative and a former leader in the Michigan legislature, you think that it's particularly conservative for us to pay for someone's health care, their meals, their cable television, their air conditioning this summer in a prison, if what I really want them to do as a nonviolent offender is pay the victim back and be held accountable for what it is that they did with their crime. And as a conservative, I want to make sure that what we're considering people for prison time for is worthy of that, that it's not just somebody who merely broke a law. You know, that's what it seems like we're sending people to prison for. It should be somebody that we need to remove from society because they're a threat to us. It's a difference of a philosophy than what's currently being employed.
How do you pay the victim back? If you're looking at doing that in a monetary fashion, where is the criminal going to get the money, and how else can a victim be paid back?
Well, I think that our court systems are well organized and able to do that. And I think that statutorily, what we need to look at, and what other states have looked at, is going in and saying what is it that we can do. When we have this companion analysis from Pew that was done in partnership that looked at nonviolent offenders released in 2004 from Florida, Maryland, and Michigan, it said that many of the nonviolent offenders could have served prison terms between 3 months and 2 years shorter with little or no impact to public safety consequences. So what that says is them not being in prison for those periods of time, and it was a pretty comprehensive study done in Michigan, would have no public safety consequences. In other words, whether or not they would have hurt other people, they would have created other victims. So if we bring that into the sentencing, then the judges would know that means that the person can be out, and if there is a bill to pay, if it is financial, if it is restorative work, community service, things of that nature, the person can do that. They can't do that when they're in prison, but they can do it when they're being supervised on the outside under parole and probation and what we call a swift and sure sanctioning, which means any violation of their parole or probation is punished immediately, and it's done swiftly, and it's done certainly, which means they know for any violation their penalty is going to be, and that leads to more accountability and less crime, more public safety in the future as well.
You're listening to the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com. We're talking with Craig DeRoche, who's the Director of External Relations for Justice Fellowship and Right on Crime. Craig, the report also said that Michigan has some of the toughest incarceration rates in the nation. Is that good or bad?
Well, as a conservative, it's good if you're getting the right people. It's bad if you're just throwing money, good money after bad, which I think that the national studies show is that our length of stay and the increase in our length of stay over the last 20-plus years, where in 2009 the average was 4.3 years in custody, is not yielding us an increase in public safety. So therefore, what it is saying is that we are spending in that year alone $471.9 million beyond what the study can demonstrate as increasing public safety. And I don't think that that's something as a conservative you would support the use of taxpayer dollars for. I think that as a conservative, you would look toward saying, well, what can we do? We don't need to throw $500 million at growing the government if it isn't going to yield an increase in public safety or restoration to the victims of crime. What can we do better? And just to give you a contemporary example in Michigan of you know, something that frustrates me. I'm still a Michigan resident. Is this Click It or Ticket campaign. I know that they are federally earmarked dollars. Our state police and our governor had very limited things they could have done with the money, but it still frustrates me that we're out there spending over $1 million on a campaign that yielded 500, people given tickets and all this focus and attention over the last couple of weeks. But we can't even have a higher than a 50% arrest rate for the murders in Detroit. You know, I don't even think we're spending the money on the police activity where we could be spending it, where the community expects us to be spending it. When we hear these reports like Pastor Winans being carjacked in Detroit, and the owner saying he calls the police 20 times and he can't get them to come out every single day, where are we using our resources is the question that we should ask. It's not that we want to be soft on crime. It's just objectively, because we want to be tough on crime doesn't mean that we the government unrestrained to a level that isn't yielding any increase in public safety.
All right, Craig, I'm not smart enough to have the answer to the question I'm going to ask you, but let's just say we put Craig in charge of the Department of Corrections in Michigan. It's a fact that we spend almost $10,000 more to house a prisoner here in Michigan than Indiana does. It's also a fact that whatever we're doing in this state and across the country to decrease the amount of people who are partaking in crime isn't working. We're not getting to the kids. We don't have a program in place. So how do we fix these?
We want to look at in Michigan, and what I'm advocating for is criminal justice reform strategies that first and foremost produce optimal results for public safety, but also, offer the savings to the taxpayers we're talking about. And the study by the Pew Center on the states provides evidence, and that's an important word, evidence, that once some nonviolent offenders pass a certain threshold in terms of length of their stay, we see public benefits level off. So what we want to do is we want to look at this point, when public safety benefits are no longer augmented by lengthening the prison stay, that we should begin to consider the benefit taxpayers and figure out how to reduce the prison time for nonviolent offenders and cut the cost. And what we want to do is begin the preparations early in an offender's prison term for them to be back into society. We want to provide pre-release planning and support. We want to link the offender with services at the time of their release, and we want to use validated risk needs instrument, basically testing in the prisons and out to target supervision levels appropriate within the community. And then, as I mentioned, the swift and certain sanctions, violations for the supervision rules. So what we want to do is change the culture from one of imprisonment of nonviolent offenders to supervision, redirection, and accountability for these nonviolent offenders, and that makes them pay their own way through life and restore their own standing in the community, rather than this model that you steal someone's car and we pay for your, as I pointed out, food and health care and meals, and you get to cool your heels in prison, and then it's very difficult to get a job when you get out of prison. Let's shift more toward risk assessment, best practices to look at who we're putting in prison, holding people accountable, and putting them onto a pathway where they are held accountable, but they're pushed off in a direction where they pay their own way through society. They're self-sufficient and on their way to a crime-free lifestyle. Other states are doing it, and they're saving hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars a year, and the way is being led by conservatives, that conservative governors in the states of Georgia, Nebraska, Ohio. Bobby Jindal just yesterday signed reforms down in Louisiana. This can be done. It can be done in Michigan, and it can yield large savings and more importantly, increasing public safety and increasing respect for victims at the same time.
All right, Craig, tomorrow we'll have the Department of Corrections on. We'll have an official on to talk about this report. It'll be interesting to get their take on it. Thanks so much for your time this morning. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Great to be on the show.